Now back to On Frame, your weekly soccer insider show on your home of RSL Soccer, ESPN 700. Blood, essays, Asian, Dominicans, Puerto Rican,
white boys, Jamaicans, Latin kings, disciple, white slaws, Haitians. Really aggressive show, ESPN 700 On Frame.
Perfect for Weibel. Perfect intro for Craig Weibel.
Back after Trey Fitzgerald, Brian Dunseth. Joining us now on the phone lines, Real Salt Lake General Manager Craig Weibel. Craig, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. That was a heavy intro.
Well, we thought it was only fitting.
Wow. Just what you deserve.
I've got, before we get into, we've got a lot of really pressing soccer questions. This
better be a Super Troopers question.
If you own beach property, do you own the sand and the water, Craig?
I wouldn't. But that's my natural fear of the ocean taking over. I'd claim the sand, and if the little waves hit my feet, I'd be all right with that.
Nobody owns the water, Craig. It's God's water.
Then I was right. I just want the sand. See, I wasn't even greedy, and I got that answer right.
Love it. Hey, Wibes, where are we at as we kind of turn the corner towards Sporting Kansas City? How do you describe, in your eyes, from a general manager's perspective, what this season has looked like so far?
Oh, wow. A roller coaster. We've obviously made a coaching change, which is huge. It throws a lot of things on, kind of U-turns and little twists and tallies, but it's been crazy. It's been wild, but we're starting to settle down a little bit. And last couple weeks have looked pretty good. And I think there's a lot to be positive about. We unfortunately have enough injuries that we're seeing a lot of young guys play, quite frankly, too many minutes. At the same time, those young guys are doing well. So our hand has been forced, but it's an opportunity that when the young guys take them, it's fantastic for us. So it's been a little bit of everything, a little bit of, every spectrum on the emotional roller coaster we've been on has been extreme. But I think we're starting to settle down a bit, and we'll get a little more predictability here over the course of the next 4 to 8 weeks.
Craig, for how crazy the start of this year has been, one thing that you and I have been talking about for the last couple of years is when the Monarchs really rounds itself out and that roster takes the shape and the results are showing the way it has so early in the season for them in the USL, the ideology of development, opportunity, getting guys significant minutes, as well as bringing guys back from injury, much like we saw, perfect example, Chris Schuler last season, that we're starting to see kind of the evolution from the inside out of what Real Salt Lake, top to bottom, potentially could be.
Yeah, and it takes a while to get there. We're all learning as we're going. We're obviously in the third year of the Monarchs, and so I think we're definitely a lot closer now to having that figured out than we were in year one. The balance of the roster, the competitiveness of the roster, the thoroughness of the quality of the roster. We can maintain standards and elevate standards when first team players are on loan now. And so, where we saw even last year was a little bit of a project trying to get guys, Chris to get healthy. We watched Ricardo play well. It was kind of in the midst of a lot of really average results from other players. And the coaching was phenomenal. Freddie was fantastic. Now we've moved him onto the first team. But we just, from a front office perspective, it took us a couple years to not only learn the USL, but then also learn how we wanted to structure it. We're very, very close now, and obviously the results are showing. And that's largely done without first-team players going on loan. So compliments to the guys getting it done, and that challenge is a wonderful challenge for me as a GM to have, because now I have a lot of guys that play for the Monarchs that, at some point of the season have the right to walk into my office and say, what does it take to get a shot?
Hey, Craig, we haven't really talked about this. I know a lot of the work that we're seeing the fruits of the Monarchs' labor with their 4-1 start, and a lot of that work was done before Mike Pecky got here, but he was responsible for getting that group on the same page, and it's been impressive to watch both home and road games for them. Are there a few things that we can expect or take away from Mike's experience getting that group together, playing cohesively on both sides of the ball, that gives you that much more hope as he goes into his fourth week of training with RSL tomorrow?
Yeah, it's much more complex. You know, that's a very simple version, and I know you were trying to tee me up.
No, I mean, I'm a simple observer, simple-minded observer of the game.
The complexity of it is actually, you know, with Freddie being the head coach for the first 2 years and being on the first team staff, and now Mike having gone in and worked with the Monarchs for quite some time, with Mark Briggs as his assistant, who's now the head coach. You know, the integration, the continuity of the entire organization, there's a lot of investment both from our first team staff in the Monarchs and now from the Monarchs up. There's so many connections now that, you know, we have to acknowledge the fact that the organization is far more complete. In terms of, you know, what did Mike do during preseason? Like you said, he added a lot of fluidity to the way the Monarchs played. He had a lot of organization, a lot of his attitude and personality showed up. And when he stepped away over the last 3 weeks, Mark has changed that. And those of us that, you know, have been there day in, day out, I've seen little personality changes and things like that, but the foundation was set. And Mike did a great job of setting that foundation with the roster that he kind of adopted there at the last second. And we expect the same thing from the first team. It's going to take a little longer. The level of competition is different in MLS than it is in USL. There's so many different USL organizations and the way they're run, the way they build teams, that we are definitely reaping the rewards early on for being very organized. The middle of the USL season is when a lot of those teams will come together, and that's where we want to continue to be successful. And from there, you come back to the first team and go, you know, by the middle of the season, by July into August, we need to be very organized and have the clear identity that Mike's been instilling over the last couple of weeks.
Where are they in that process right now? It's obviously just 3 weeks in, but how do you kind of gauge the progress? And you know, we hear Mike Petke after the game say wins and losses don't matter in his mind in terms of how he's gauging the progress of this team. But from an outsider, how can you gauge that at this point?
Well, I think it's fair from a fan perspective, and you know, we've talked about this before. The fan's job is to simply evaluate and react to the 2 hours they see,
right?
And that's games. So, you know, the fan's eye is important in terms of the way they're evaluating each performance. I thought against Vancouver a couple weeks ago, I thought we were very clean on the ball. The connectivity, the way we built through the lines, was great. Colorado plays a completely different style. Especially when they go up a goal, they're very difficult to break down, and you have to be very patient, and at the same time you have to be really quick in your counters and reactions. And you know, we were able to take advantage of it. This last weekend was not the worst game, actually. I've gone back and watched it twice, and you know, for all of the problems Atlanta was able to cause us as we built out with their press, we really only gave up one shot that forced a save in the run of play that wasn't due to our own mistakes. This was a game where, you know, at the professional level, when you donate one goal, it becomes very difficult. When you donate two, it becomes nearly impossible. I give our team a ton of credit and Mike a ton of credit for instilling that fight that realistically, you know, put our guys in a situation that they did the work to get the second goal. They just didn't get it. 95th minute goal in injury time after we played with three in the back for 25 minutes or whatever. I think it was 25 minutes at that point. You know, I'm not ignoring it, but at the same time, I'm not judging too much on that. But I think if you look at the games, there's some really, really good things to take from them. you know, the first game was very clean. The second game, we willed ourselves to figure out a way to break them down, Colorado. And this last game, you take away the two mistakes that we made on the goals we gave them and look at the rest of the game in its entirety, I think there were still some positives to take. I know Mike is more conservative in his evaluation than I am, but good steps, good mentality, good emotion from our team. We still need to continue to have the courage to play. And we got a little bit punished for that on the weekend, but I don't want to see that go away because of one mistake or two mistakes. Mike doesn't want to see it go away. We have to put the ball on the ground. We have to continue to try to figure out how to build, and we have the players to do that.
Hey, Wibes, speaking of Atlanta, I was just saying earlier today that it not only the statement of intent, but being able to execute with some of the players that they've brought to the fold in Major League Soccer. You know, I know the owners are meeting tomorrow. There's conversations about how the evolution of the salary budget continues to look. But it, from a general manager's perspective, I describe it as kind of MLS 3.0, that now you're getting billionaires a million times over with the money to spend. We're going to see LAFC come in right around the corner. Is this kind of an arms race in the big picture? I keep saying, Craig, that this is the next 3 years, that this phase will really redefine the way people are looking at MLS 10 years from now. Where do you fall in line with kind of the Atlantas and the LAFCs and kind of that money that's being paid out early as they kind of define themselves in this league?
Well, I think, yeah, with the way the rules are written, I think you can still buy some results. But I also think that with the way that MLS is structured, clubs like ours that have a clear plan and a clear vision for where we're trying to get, we're developing young guys. We're developing and redefining our team and our group. And I think that it's still possible to be very successful in the league if you're very smart and, quite frankly, don't make any mistakes on your roster. But, you know, I do think that we are becoming a more worldly league. I think the budgets are going up, and I think, you know, a lot of players around the world are tired of signing contracts where they don't actually get paid what they've signed. And this is a league that offers a lot of stability, a lot of creativity for very good players within the roles that they have on their teams, and a lot of leadership for players that are very, very talented, but maybe in other countries are, you know, a little lower on the pecking order. So we're definitely climbing. We're definitely getting better. I do think, you know, I'd be silly not to acknowledge the fact that if you spend more right now, you can buy some results. But I also think we're becoming a smarter league. And I think that there must be in nearly every club, the ones that don't just have unlimited funds, but in nearly every club in MLS, it's becoming more and more important to have a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year vision of what your roster is and what you look like. It's no longer a league where you just chase the best available option and see what happens to your team.
Craig, we're going to do a special show down at Proper, hopefully with you and Mike on Monday, May 8th.
Yes.
That's after the transfer window is over. So we can talk through those kinds of things. But on the horizon now is the U-20 World Cup. RSL obviously had five guys lead U.S. to a historic championship in the recent CONCACAF qualifying tournament. I think we know that four guys are going to be there, and then hopefully Justin Glad. What is losing those guys, I guess, as some of the vets get healthy? What does that mean for the remaining 17 months of the season after those guys get back in the first week of June?
Well, the first thing is I'll keep my fingers crossed that all of our guys get called in, and I think all of them deserve to get called in, that being Sebastian Saucedo, Brooks Lennon, Danilo Acosta, Aaron Herrera down at University of New Mexico, and Justin, if he gets healthy. I think they're all very, very deserving of those roster spots. And you know, I know Tab Ramos follows them all very closely. So, you know, we'll wait for the final word, but definitely optimistic and fairly confident, that each one will get their just deserve there. You know, what it means for us is we're going to be losing a couple guys that are contributing. You know, with 10 days ago or 9 days ago, all three of Danilo, Brooks, and Bofo started, and the other day Bofo came on as a sub and played very, very well. So you're talking about a lot of minutes. Just on the weekend, you had two of those guys go 90 and another guy go 25. Or, you know, that's a lot of minutes for other guys to eat up and eat up successfully and efficiently. It is a healthy pressure we're building on our roster that hasn't existed in a couple years now, where the depth adds, call it healthy pressure, healthy tension to the roster, to the decisions, and to the training sessions. When those guys are gone, you know, other guys are going to get opportunities. Some will get an opportunity back, but you know, going to the U20 World Cup doesn't take them down a level of competition. So we have to be optimistic. You know, I never got to put a national team jersey on. I never even got a call to a camp, nor did I deserve one. But I live vicariously through each one of these guys when they go in. It's such an honor, and Albert Rusnik will also be a guy that's gone with youth national team responsibility this summer, deservedly so. So, you know, a lot of guys are going to be playing minutes, and we expect them all to play with the quality of the reasons we signed them.
It's easy to forget that Albert's still youth national team eligible, isn't it?
Yeah, every once in a while. You know, we talked a couple months ago about when are we going to see the full potential, and the adjustment phase for any player in a new country, a new culture, and a new style of league takes a while. But every game, Albert's gotten a little more comfortable. We've only seen him get lost really once. And other than that, he's finding his way in there. He's figuring out the pockets that exist in MLS, where to collect the ball, where to turn. And you know, I thought on the weekend he was quite good. And I still think there's a lot more for him to offer us.
Yeah, I was actually saying, Craig, that I thought that was his best performance, especially with kind of the athleticism and the opponent, with Carmona in particular, the way he was kind of just trying to be the Ozzy Alonso-esque type of role.
He was Ozzy-esque with that orange card he got in the 40th minute.
Take it easy, Trey. Hey, Wipes.
Well, he was. I don't know who he was inspired by in the 89th when he went after Shuler, but that one didn't
that's just
do us
dumb.
Any favors either.
Yeah, that's just dumb. Shu just looked at him and gave him kind of that quizzical look, like, come on, man, put that handbag away. You don't want any of this.
Yeah, that's why we love Shuler, too.
I know. Silent assassin. hey, Wibes, you brought up...
He thought it was a light breeze.
I know, right? you brought up something interesting that kind of caught my attention. You know, you were talking about all these guys coming back from injury. You were talking about the competition in this roster for spots, even making the 18-man roster. You and I have both seen it as players. I think both you and I have seen it on the media side, where sometimes guys don't really care, right? You've seen rosters of guys that are just really super content with just making a roster and collecting a paycheck. This feels different, though. Do you sense the same type of urgency that I sense with this group of players, recognizing that when everyone's healthy, if you're not adhering to what Mike Pecky is looking for, you could find yourself on the outside looking in?
Well, I can assure you from all of my conversations with Mike that it's very black and white, that when there's choices to be made, the best player and the guy who's practicing and training with the right attitude is going to get the opportunity. There's no doubt. And the guys understood that, I think, within the first 6-7 days with some of the things that Mike instilled. But yeah, this roster is developing. And with development, as young boys mature and become professionals, you know, it allows pressure to be put on some of the veteran players. And healthy pressure is what every roster needs ultimately to be successful. And I think you're right. I think we're starting to see the very, very beginning of that process, you know, and it's great. It's nice to see. I'm excited for it to continue to grow, and that's why I think, you know, we certainly have the right staff to kind of continue that process, and it's only going to it's only going to serve to make us better as a group. We're very early in that, very early in that. But I think you're really astute to recognize that, Dunny, is it's not the easiest thing to do in three games. And I would have to agree with you that it's definitely taken place.
Meow.
You can send me the money later.
Shenanigans.
Oh.
By the way, hold on really quick. You said you watched that game twice. Did you watch our broadcast?
No.
You got the Atlanta broadcast?
I unfortunately got...
How is that possible?
Got the other.
We were the MLS then, Live.
I don't know, man. I can't... If I was that good at technology...
It's true. I can co-sign. I'd be, you missed...
I'd have invented Soda Crush or something cool like that.
Cool. You just said Dunny was astute and Soda Crush is cool.
I know. Wow. I feel like you just canceled out my the compliment there, Wad.
Well, no, my credibility shot when, you know.
Craig, when we talk about the three young guys, we talked about Danny and Brooks and Bofo and kind of their contributions, and you get into practice habits and things like that. How much can that benefit these guys that when the group is fully healthy, they get a legitimate shot at starting positions?
Yeah, ultimately every player that, you know, has the opportunity to start every weekend, and most of it comes down to training habits. It just so happens that in every single sport in the world, the veterans tend to train a little more appropriately
right, for
the moment. You know, but even go down through the list, Ricardo Velasco's had a very good run already this year, and his training habits have gotten exponentially better over the last 2.5 years. Jose Hernandez, who we signed as one of our homegrowns this year out of UCLA, already has 2 goals for the Monarchs, scored on the weekend. And his training habits have gotten better just since he got here. UCLA is a great program and prepares guys well, but Jose's changed the way he's playing and training already, and you just continue to go down through the list of our youth. We know what Justin can provide our group, and it all starts in one place. It's a cliche to say that you play like you train, but especially at the younger ages, the first and hardest thing to learn is, as a professional, the only way you play is if you take someone's job. You know, up until guys sign professional contracts, they're usually on teams where they're going to play no matter what. They train well, but they've never actually had to take a job. And that's the hardest thing to wrap your head around, that practice is where you take someone's job. The game is where you keep your job. So we have a great group of veterans. You know, Kyle's never one that's lacked intensity in his life. And the way he trains and it rubs off on the young guys is phenomenal.
Craig, last question. And this just came in about expectations for fans. And I was going to kind of be a smartass and ask you, you know, about the roller coaster of thinking you were going to win MLS Cup at the end of the Colorado game, and then the roller coaster goes back down to the disappointment at the end of the Atlanta game. But, you know, what is kind of your, I guess, message to the fans for what expectations should be, and what are the factors that go into setting expectations as we go through the next 9 months?
They're as complex or simple as each fan wants to make them. You know, I think the changes we've made on the roster suggest a very clear vision of where we're taking this roster. We're redefining it, but we're also not just throwing random darts. We're putting very talented young men on the field, just like RSL did in 2007 and 8 before they made their run at the end of 2009 and 10. We're giving guys a shot to prove themselves. The guys that do are going to stay. The guys that don't aren't going to be here. So we're in the process of redefining and recreating new heroes within the roster itself. But in terms of short-term, long-term, each game is a roller coaster of emotion in its own. Like you said, you know, 9 days ago, everyone felt great, and the other day it didn't feel so good. But the key right now is to evaluate what Mike and what his staff are doing. It's been 3 games. We've won two, we've lost one, and the game we lost, if you go back and watch, aside from the fact that everyone loves to talk about Atlanta's pressure, we did have some silly turnovers that cost us the game. And other than those turnovers, I believe our goalkeepers, you know, in the run of play up to the 95th minute, I'll say, I think Nick was forced to make one save other than on turnovers of our own. So there's still some positives to take from this weekend, but we do need to grow. We need to continue to grow. And the fan expectation should be that they continue to see development in who we are and defining ourselves. We have to become a team that the fans show up and know what to expect. And lately, it's been a wild card, you know. One day it's great, one day it isn't, and it's been like that for a little while. So take the three games that that Mike and his staff have coached and evaluate those, and I'd say, you know, put those in a bubble and we move forward from here. But expectations are always fun to talk about. Some people will tell me I'm too conservative, and other people, you know, tell me I'm too aggressive. So we I'll just wait for the emails to come in, I guess.
Your finger paintings are beautiful. Don't let them lie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody gets to choose what they want to expect. And, you know, every game I can talk to a fan regardless of result and everything else. I'll talk to one person that thought it was great and one that thought it was, you know, mediocre, and another that says it's the worst thing they've ever seen. So, you know, it's throwing paint at a wall sometimes, but the clear definition of who we are has to become more and more apparent as we enter into the summer and make a run.
Craig, don't set your country music award on fire.
What?
Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
No, no worries, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Craig.
That does it for today's show. I hope you guys appreciated our shenanigans tonight.
Nope.
Mike Petke with Bill Riley tomorrow, 1:30. Talking Real Thursday night on KMYU. You're Beyond on Friday on RSL.com. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Warriors Trailblazers coming up after this.
Enjoy your Saturday.
ESPN 700 On Frame.